All right, thanks, Kyle, and thank you to our teenagers for leading us in worship. We are privileged to have this kind of talent amongst our youth here. Let me just circle back real quick to something that Matt mentioned, the drive that we have right now for supplies that we're going to be packing in our Family Serve Sunday on January 4th. We have next week is the last chance to have those things in. You can bring them Christmas Eve. You can bring them next Sunday. These are all little items, but they're inexpensive items, and we need a lot of them, like hundreds of them. So make sure that you take some time just to go and grab a bunch of that stuff that's on the list that you have in your bulletin or is out by the tree, and stock us up on these things so that we can pack. We're hoping to pack 250 family med kits to send overseas, and that is a really big deal. The refugee situation around the world is substantial, and so many of these people have been living in refugee camps for many years and do not have access to this kind of stuff. And through Voice of the Martyrs, we're hoping to bless our brothers and sisters around the world in these refugee camps where they can get a little help to stay healthy and get what they need there. So remember that during this season. Don't forget to bring something to contribute to that. Let's begin here. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's why I love that song that we just sang. We've sung that a few times now. Absolutely love this song. It is such a great, clear communication of this beautiful truth that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. That's where our focus is during this Christmas season. My prayer right now has been that every one of us would truly experience the presence of God as we navigate another Christmas. This is a joyful, wonder-filled time of celebration for some of us. For others, this is a time filled with uncertainty, with grief and sorrow for some, stress and heaviness for some, coping and just hanging on for others. Because life's circumstances do not call time out during the Christmas season. Life just marches on. No matter what our circumstances might be, there is an encouraging truth that does not change and draws our attention and our adoration at this time of year, and it's the reality of Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ stepped into our experience in human form, coming as a baby, fulfilling prophecies that have been spoken for thousands of years. Last Sunday, we started our look at Emmanuel by acknowledging God's presence with us throughout history and his promises to be with us for all of eternity. God is here, amen? Amen. He always has been, he is, and he always will be here with us. The title of Emmanuel given to Jesus was a reminder of that truth. Despite our sinful nature and the things that we've done that go against God's design for his creation, God has never abandoned us. Never. Sometimes we lose sight of him. Sometimes we assume he's not there, but he remains faithful to us and never walks away. There's another encouraging side to this truth that I want to look at with you this morning. But before I do that, I also want to identify something that we do, myself included, that really isn't helping us embrace the presence of God. If we do accept the reality of God's presence with us, that leaves us with the challenge of responding to His presence. I believe that God is here. I believe the words that I said last week about God being with us, past, present, and future. I believe that He is faithful and will not abandon us. I don't remember a time when I didn't believe that. My parents were shining reminders to me that God is with us, even during times when life seemed pretty bleak for me. Now, maybe you're the same way. Maybe you truly do accept the truth about Emmanuel, God with us. You know that He's with us, but that still leaves you and me with constant opportunities to respond to that truth. So how do we respond? Maybe you've been down one of these paths before in response to God's presence with us. Maybe you put the truth of God's presence in that compartment that we refer to as information, and you just leave it there. We believe it. We may even be willing to debate the validity of that information, but it stays there. It's just something that we know. That's all the response that's needed from us. We know it. That's truth. Maybe you respond to the truth of God's presence by allowing it to affect you in otherworldly ways. Maybe you see it as this incomprehensible connection to the supernatural, so you relate to God's presence as something beyond your day-to-day reality, and you even speak to Him differently. You change your linguistic choices, preferring to speak to Him in Old English, and you attempt to act differently when you are around Him. Maybe in response to God's presence, our reaction is flight. Sometimes in fear, we think that we can avoid God, thinking that this is even possible somehow. We forget that Adam and Eve tried this, so it's not an original idea. But what did we learn from their experience? Well, God cannot be avoided. We can't employ the, if I don't think about Him, He's not there kind of mindset. Or maybe our experience of God's presence is driven by the experience of our own shame, based on our feelings about something we've done or believed about ourselves, we can't accept the fact that God accepts us. So we really don't want to interact with the presence of God in our lives until we feel better about ourselves. And we disappear in our insecurity, fading into the background, even knowing that God is there. It amazes me to consider the freedom that God has given us. He knew we were going to struggle with this. He knew we were going to have a hard time accepting the invisible presence of the one who created us. He knew we were going to be influenced more by our circumstances than by anything else. He knew that we were going to doubt, that we were going to question, that we were going to pout, that we were going to lash out, wander off, rebel, and a host of other responses that we have to the presence of God. But here's what He didn't do. God didn't establish His presence with us, confirming that at various points in history like He has, and then leave us to figure out what to do with that. He didn't just come to observe. He didn't just come to referee. He didn't just come to sit on the judge's bench and grade our performance. He didn't come to be here but keep a safe distance. One of the greatest parts of the Christmas story for me is the often overlooked invitation that came with the arrival of Emmanuel. It's subtle, but it's there. It was an invitation extended to some shepherds, and they responded to that invitation. This is how that event played out in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So what did the angels communicate to the shepherds beyond just the information about the arrival of Emmanuel? Well, they gave the shepherds some specifics about how to respond to that arrival. And it was clear that they were not telling the shepherds to keep their distance. God had the angels direct the shepherds to do something that we should all learn from. They essentially said, "Go see him." They gave them a location, Bethlehem, and they gave them a sign. The expected response was that the shepherds would go see Emmanuel. They're being invited to draw near. That was the expected response to God's presence. Draw near. That was the Christmas invitation that applies to every day of the year. Come and experience the presence of Emmanuel, the presence of God. Well, Emmanuel, Jesus, continued throughout his ministry to extend that invitation to many, many people. God was now with us in the flesh. Throughout the Gospel of Matthew, we hear Jesus inviting people to approach him. And we have to take this personally. I can't see this as something Jesus was communicating only to those fortunate enough to see him in the flesh. One of my favorites of his invitations is found in Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that sounds to me like Jesus is helping us grasp his expectation of what we should do with the presence of God in our lives. God is with us. He invites us to come close to him. He even tells us what we'll find in his presence, and surprisingly, it's rest. Not performance-based expectations, rest. Well, he didn't stop there. Jesus' invitation to follow him was pretty common. That's what he told the disciples that he chose. He said, "Follow me." That means get close, very close. It's what he said to the crowds who had been checking out his power and his teaching in Matthew 16. He invited them with all honesty about what that could actually mean. He called them to come close. A rich young man once approached Jesus in Matthew 19, inquiring about what it took to have eternal life. Jesus told him what he needed to let go of, but then he invited the man to come and follow him. He called the man to enter into his presence and experience God up close. Jesus even invited the children, also in Matthew 19, to come to him in spite of the efforts of his disciples to remove them from Jesus' presence. Even children, literally and figuratively, were to respond to the presence of Emmanuel by drawing close. In his parables, Jesus extended that invitation, referring to the wedding feast in Matthew 22, where he was inviting people to join him for all of eternity. Come to the banquet, draw near. Can't miss this theme. It's an invitation by God, by Christ, by Emmanuel to closeness. That's how Jesus wants us to respond to the presence of God. In John 15, Jesus invited, even instructed us to abide in him. In light of his presence with us, Jesus wants us to draw close to him and stay close to him. Remain in me, he said. I can't interpret the invitation to abide any other way. He wants us close, all of us. So I think the shepherds got it right. They responded. They drew near. They went to Bethlehem. They found Jesus just as they were told. In observing this, I question my own excuses for not accepting his invitation to come. For me personally, I have been shown all my life how much Jesus wants me close. I have seen, felt, and experienced his presence in very, very personal ways. He is very real to me. Still, in my human weakness, I resist his invitation. I keep my distance as if I actually could, okay? In my own mind, I keep my distance. It's the best I can do. So, what is wrong with me that I would even consider anything but drawing near to the one who is always near to me? The shepherds in the field near Bethlehem had all kinds of excuses to not go to the stable. Let's start with the obvious. Out of nowhere appears a multitude of angels in the sky. And they're expected to believe what the aliens had just told them. And they're expected to act on what they were just told. Now set aside the storybook fairy tale nature of the Christmas account. Of course they went to Bethlehem because that's part of the story. Christmas would be very different if the shepherds had not gone to Bethlehem. Just imagine a nativity set without the shepherds. That is unthinkable. But if a host of flying aliens had just interrupted your night of guarding sheep, what would you have done? Would you have calmly said to your fellow shepherds, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us"? Be honest, would you have believed the terrifying winged creatures floating above your flock? I wouldn't have. If I had worked my way through the appearance of the angels to me, which is a big hurdle to overcome, would there have been nothing then standing between me and a visit to Bethlehem? Well, how about that shame that I mentioned earlier? Being a lowly shepherd, would I have just naturally accepted the invitation? Or would I have seen myself as grossly inadequate to receive such an invitation? There are a lot of reasons why the shepherds could have simply stayed put and carried on with their duty of tending sheep, sidestepping the invitation to draw near. I think they even had more valid reasons than I do. But they got up and they went to Bethlehem. And they drew near to the baby in the manger. I love focusing on the Christmas story and this incredible example of God's presence with us and his invitation for us to respond. After all, this was an actual physical presence in a physical place and an invitation to physically come. The invitation, though, wasn't always this concrete and tangible. But the invitation has always been there. It's always been there. And I believe that the shepherds even knew this. I believe that they knew that God was fulfilling his promise to get close to his creation. That's why they responded. They knew that this was consistent with who God is. So let's take a few minutes to see and hear God's invitation long before that stable scene and then after Jesus' time with us physically. How's this for an invitation? This goes way, way back. This is God speaking through his prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:13. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is part of a prophetic message that God gave his people about coming back to him. He wants his people to talk to him. He wants them to seek him. He wants them to find him. He wants his people restored back into fellowship, back into closeness with him. That's God's desire. Remember that God chose to go with them wherever they were. He had them carry his presence with them through the wilderness. He had them build a dwelling place for his presence, and he invited them to seek him, promising them that he would be found. And God still wants to be found. He doesn't want us to just know that he's there. He wants us to respond to his presence by seeking him, by focusing our attention on his presence. He calls us to pray. He calls us to abide. He calls us to fellowship with him. Jesus even painted a picture of him standing at the door of our lives, knocking. He's waiting for us to open that door and invite him to come in and fellowship with us. He just wants to be close. So can we stop running? Stop avoiding, stop ignoring him? Can I just accept his invitation? Can't I just talk to him, listen to him, seek his face, open myself up to his perfect fatherly character, and enter into that fellowship that he went to such great lengths to make available to me? God invites us to embrace his presence because he knows that we need it. In fact, it is our lifeline. Jesus made this so clear in the way that he invited people to himself. In John 7:27, Jesus offers so much, and this is just one example of many. He says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." This invitation comes with an incentive. In fact, it always does. Going way back again, this time to the Psalms, where David speaks of the presence of God and says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy." Look at all the reasons we have to respond to God's invitation, to respond to his presence. But it's not just about all the benefits that await us. The invitation is to God himself. At some point, we have to decide that he's worth being with. See, he came to us. He dwells with us. He always has. He does. And he always will. He brought all of who he is, making his way closer and closer, even to the point where he now dwells in us, and we have become his temple, his dwelling place. His spirit is in us. God has done all this because God wants closeness. And so he invites us again and again and again to come. He invites us to set aside all the excuses, like the shepherds on the hill outside Bethlehem did, and just respond to his presence. I want to close this message with one last reference to the invitation. This one was made by James, the brother of Jesus, who became a church leader, and he certainly had plenty to work through when it came to the identity of his brother and what he would have James say to the church. In James 4:8, James makes this simple statement that has stuck with me since the first time I ever saw it, first time I ever read it. "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." It's that basic. I didn't say it was simple. It's simple to say and to understand even, but it's not so simple to practice. But there is no denying that the invitation is there. When Jesus arrived in the stable in Bethlehem, this invitation was extended. God was here in the flesh, Emmanuel. And as he always had, God wanted closeness with his creation. He took a giant step towards us and invited us to take a giant step towards him. He closed the gap, and he continues to close the gap in anticipation of the day when that gap will no longer exist. And so this Christmas, Chapel Hill, in the midst of the celebration, in the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of the busyness, the stress, the joy, the sorrow, the remembering, in the midst of all of it, remember this, that Jesus arrived and he is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And in light of his very real and true presence with us, God invites us to come, to draw near, to take him up on that invitation. And so this Christmas, church, talk to him. Seek his face. Listen for his voice. Abide in his presence. Remember that he wants to be close. He wants to be close. So let's draw near to him. This morning, I'm well aware of the fact that there are many in this room who are facing a lot of heaviness this Christmas season. You're walking into the next week, maybe not really looking forward to it all that much because of circumstances, because of what life's doing to you right now. I just want to extend this invitation to you. After the service here, we're going to have some people in the back of the room back here, and you are free to go and engage with one of them and have them pray with you. Don't carry that burden yourself going into this next week. If you've got something that you would just like to have lifted up to the Lord, you'd like to do that with someone, just make your way back there after the service, and there will be people there who would be more than happy to pray with you before you leave here. You are, of course, invited to be here Christmas Eve at 4:30. I'd love to see you here. We're going to have a wonderful candlelight service together, lots of traditional Christmas songs, and a beautiful summary of this message of God with us. And other than that, if I don't get to see you, have a wonderful Christmas. And remember that he's with you. Emmanuel is with you. Just draw near to him. It's what we all need this Christmas. Will you pray with me now? Father, I do thank you this morning for that beautiful invitation that you gave us. In the very act of you coming close, the act of you coming in human form, taking on flesh, you chose to dwell with us in a new way. You chose to get closer to us. And then, Father, I love how many times and in how many ways Jesus said, okay, now you come close to me. I'm here. Come close to me. And then how Jesus didn't just leave, he left us his spirit to be even closer, to dwell, to live in us, making us his dwelling place, his temple, your temple. We are that temple. You are with us, and we welcome your presence. And Lord, for every single one in this room, myself included, I pray that we would let go of whatever it is that's keeping us from responding to your presence. I ask that this Christmas season, this next week, would not be just a distraction for us, but that it would be a constant reminder of your presence, and that we would willingly and humbly accept your invitation to draw near. Help us to see clearly the fact that in your presence is joy and peace and hope and love. Open our eyes to see your face. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our hearts to receive your love. Help us to understand maybe more clearly than we ever have that this season, this remembrance, this celebration was about you taking this giant step towards us through Jesus leaving the comfort of heaven, entering into our experience so that we can enter into your experience. Get that foretaste of what's to come. Thank you for all that we can find in your presence, but for the fact that above all of that, we can find you, the one who created us, the one who loves us perfectly, the one who extends us mercy and grace and forgiveness. The one who longs for nothing more than to have us draw near and to have that perfect fellowship with you restored. Thank you for inviting us to come, for choosing to be in our presence and inviting us to be in yours. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, for the opportunity to remember and celebrate that. Praise you for all that you've done for us, and we accept your invitation to come, to draw near. And we do it in the name of the one who made that possible, in the name of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel.